It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law.
See terms and conditions. 18 plus. For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm RJ Bell with the sports betting headlines for Friday. The Ravens do it again. Amazingly, they've won 21 straight games in the preseason. One playoff game during all that time, I think. But 21 straight, it's amazing. They covered again. If you had bet them the last 21 games in the preseason, 18-2-1 against the spread. Giants hold on to win against the Pats, but the Pats cover. You know, the fact the Pats lost, it probably means Belichick's no good at all. I'm not sure about that, but some people seem to believe it. I don't get it. Deshaun Watson is supposed to be playing, but he's waiting to see. Is he going to be suspended the whole season, half the season? But he will be on the field. At least that's what's expected. It's about pick 'em in their game in the preseason. Here comes a 4 Hour of the Vegas Truth covering all that and more.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live in Las Vegas, live on a Friday, live on 226 FSR stations across this great, great nation. Ooh, a football Friday. During the regular season, we have our most popular segment of the year in which we go through every game and give a wise guy take on it. But, you know, we won't do that in the preseason, but most today's show is going to be about the NFL, about these games, about Malik Willis, the Steelers. Should they have taken him? I mean, imagine you could have got him in the 3rd round. So Pittsburgh drafted after Tennessee, before
20th.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
Well, obviously 20th, but then in the 3rd round they could have got him before.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, unless Tennessee had another pick. And so what was he, like 54 or something? I heard that today. So let's think about that. No, that wouldn't. I'm sorry. That was they were talking about Pickett from the Georgia receiver the Steelers have. Is it Pickens?
Pickens.
And then the quarterback.
Pickett.
With very small hands.
Tiny hands.
Pickens has much bigger hands.
Much bigger hands.
Yeah, I don't know about... I mean, listen, you got to love the Steeler draft ways, but let's be honest. Before they drafted Big Ben, do you want to look at the lineup? Bobby Brister.
Mike Tomczak.
Neil O'Donnell. Neil O'Donnell had shoulder pads that were like 4 feet across. Like if he got... If the wind blew, he'd start teetering like Humpty Dumpty. I mean, I don't
know. A good gust could pick him up. It looked like parasailing.
Mark Malone, who actually ran like a 4.3 and like at the combine, had the longest Steeler reception in history for a long time. He had a 90-yarder. As a quarterback, they just he wasn't playing, so they brought him in, threw him a screen or something, had a 90-yarder, I remember, against Seattle. And now they're drafting quarterbacks again. We didn't appreciate Big Ben. I sent a tweet about 5 years ago, and I said, we're going to – because the Steelers had let another season kind of get go by, and it's like, we're going to miss these Big Ben years, I promise. Because when you live through 20 years of frustration at quarterback, it's not fun. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. He's the fan who beats the man, A.J. Hoffman.
Thanks, R.J. Great to be here today. The Ravens extend their preseason win streak to 21. Deshaun Watson may now be open to a settlement with the NFL and boxing's heavyweight.
How do we know he wasn't open to settlements all along?
He said before he wasn't open to a settlement.
Well, they were negotiating settlements all along.
He said he would not take more than zero games. That was a quote from Deshaun Watson's team.
It was from the team.
From his agent or his lawyers.
Somehow, I don't think his team necessarily has done him good.
I don't think so.
I mean, I don't know. I can't judge how they've done since this problem. And I don't know if they were even there before. But let's just say the team in general has fallen short.
I think you're probably right.
Continue with the rundown.
And boxing's heavyweight king retires today at age 34.
Ali
no longer the heavyweight king.
So you're doing that as a teaser? What percentage of the audience do you think knows who the heavyweight king is?
Tyson Fury is like one of the most popular heavyweight champions since Mike Tyson.
Well, who's the number two?
Probably Evander Holyfield or Lennox Lewis.
So you're saying Fury's more like gets a bigger gate, makes more money than Holyfield?
Yeah.
I don't think that's possible.
No, I'm not saying he's a better boxer. I'm saying he's a bigger showman.
He had a trilogy, right? With
Deontay Wilder.
Okay, and it was and what was it? 2-0-1. Was there a draw? Or
first fight was a draw.
Okay, now was that a draw? Was in the judges' scorecard or was
judges' scorecard draw?
Okay, yeah, I don't think you're right. I mean, Holyfield was everyone recognized. You think if Fury walks in a room now, he's big, but if you just see his face. That as many people, his Q rating is going to be as high as Holyfield was in his prime.
Yes.
Mackenzie, I guess you don't remember. How attuned are you to Fury, Tyson Fury?
He was the first heavyweight fighter that crossed
Are you reading for Wikipedia?
No, I'm telling you, he's the first one that I paid attention to since Lennox Lewis back in the day.
And this is because he says like controversial things and stuff.
Yeah, he's a showman. He's a loud, brash personality.
You know what's funny? Everyone with an IQ over 100 like looks at showmen like that and go, oh, geez. But if you're smart.
Guys like me.
But no. But if you're smart, you realize it works. I mean, like, think about like someone on a reality show. They might be doing like obvious things to get attention, but they get attention.
Yeah. Conor McGregor's got 7 of the top selling pay-per-views in UFC history. Is he a top 10 fighter? No, but he is a top 10 seller.
Well, his greatest accomplishment was getting paid even more to fight
Mayweather.
And that was actually Mayweather's greatest accomplishment.
Yeah.
I mean, to go 50 and that was the 50, right?
That was 50.
Think you go 49. He waited like over a year for number, and he said 50's it. And then he finds one that he makes the more money than he could have against any other fighter, probably. I mean, he probably wouldn't have made more against Triple G, I don't think, would he?
No, and he fights a guy who's 0-0.
They couldn't beat him.
They couldn't even a boxer.
Couldn't beat him. I mean, the guy, listen, I don't know about his reading comprehension. I know he is and I don't know much. I mean, I don't know anything inside about the domestic violence, but the businessman.
He is a businessman.
And Conor, but McGregor was one of the. I mean, he was the best heavy or not best heavyweight. He was best in his division weight wise for at least a couple years,
yep.
Right? I mean, listen, if you're a showman but you're really good, I can deal with it.
Yeah.
Speaking of show off kind of people, Let's start with Harbaugh and his shenanigans.
I thought you might like
that. Family.
The Baltimore Ravens extend their win streak to 21 consecutive preseason victories, beating the Titans 23-10 last night, covering as 3-point favorites. The Ravens now 18-2-1 against the Vegas spread in that stretch.
And yesterday, the sharp action was heavy on Tennessee.
It was.
I thought Tennessee would cover. I didn't
convince me that they wouldn't.
Well, no. What I said was, I disagreed with you guys' handicap, and Fezzik had a pick too that he gave that we had tape on for the show. Is you guys thought it was going to be because Harbaugh got chagrined by the injuries, and he's like, "Well, I see the error of my ways." Oh, hold on, that was what you thought.
That was half of what I thought. The other half,
I thought that was plain wrong.
They broke the record. Why keep going?
But people didn't even know the record existed. Like, do you think that Harbaugh said, like, 5 years ago, you know what I want? Forget Super Bowls. I want to be the best coach in the history of the world in games that don't matter. No. He just likes to be a bully. He's the kind of guy that if someone's like if some kid's getting his pants pulled down by like a couple ruffians, he'll walk up here and start pulling the kid's pants down himself just for old time's sake.
You're saying Jim Harbaugh's like
a bully.
He's Nelson from The Simpsons.
Nelson, yes, but yes. Now here's the thing.
You've done a Marge Simpson this week. I thought it'd be fair.
I wasn't trying to do Marge. I was trying to do Adrian from Rock. When we did, I mean, if you want to know what our podcast is like, we spent 10 minutes on
at least.
We read this Rocky IV because we wanted to see a scene in there, and we weren't able to play it. So we just got the script and read it.
And some of the best feedback.
Yeah, it was Scott's best moment.
It had to have been.
Because when he goes, because you married a fighter, it was perfect. You know, how sick would you be of your husband saying you married a fighter? It's like, take out the garbage. You married a fighter. I mean, imagine a year 15 of that.
She could have just come back with, you married a nag. I'm not changing either.
He's like, And there you go. That's the end. We're straight out of Vegas. So Harbaugh, all joking aside, they like to beat up on lesser individuals because it makes them feel good about themselves. I mean, I don't think that is pejorative or negative. I just think that's true. Do you sense that, or do I just see it?
I think you.
I might see it more closely because as a Steelers fan and as an Ohio State grad and fan, I don't like the Harbaugh.
But it's also, I think,
the dad. Seriously, the dad produces those two.
Two of them.
I mean, they're good at achieving things. Not very good at being human.
I think it's also the way that the Ravens team is built. We what do we say all the time? They're not built to play from behind. They have to be a bully. They have to be ahead of you and be able to just grind on you because that's the way their team is built.
Yeah, in games that matter. No, listen, I like Bill Parcells back in the prior generation was historically, he actually still has a better against the spread record in the preseason. And I think of anyone, but even, you know, Harbaugh wasn't all that great before this trade. He was good, not great. I think some of it has to do with Lamar, and we said it, is that offense is hard to prepare for if you're not familiar with it. The only teams familiar with the offense, really familiar, of the Baltimore offense is going to be in division, those three teams. And then there's two other teams that's played them four times at least during Lamar's era, which has been that offense, and that's been Kansas City and Tennessee. So I thought Tennessee's familiar with them. The line is moving that way. Did you watch the game?
No, I've watched the replay.
Yeah, and looking at the replay, did the score seem indicative of, you know, the game? I mean,
the Ravens were significantly better yesterday.
This is the game they were going to lose. So, I mean, I got to figure they win the next two.
I mean, you're going to run it to 23?
Because, you know, I think so. And, I mean, to some degree, at what point do we just start betting them? Right? I mean, it's like if something is 18-2-1, and here's the thing, the ATS margin. Now, what is that? It means if you're laying three and you win by four, you win. But you're plus one in the ATS margin. Over short sample sizes, that ATS margin can tell you something. If it's, let's say it's someone 6-1. If the ATS margin's not great, you almost ignore that. Now, if someone's 525 and 450, ATS margin doesn't even matter. There's enough games that it's going to tell you the story. Yeah. But in the NFL especially, it's rare that there's enough games that you don't want to know something more than the margin. We got a trend coming up later when we preview the upcoming games on coaches that historically don't have a win yet as a coach in the preseason, how much more they seem to try. Our sample size in that is only 15 games, but the logic is there. Real quick, the ATS margin for the Ravens in these 21 games, almost 12 points. Oof. Which means that if you would have adjusted the Vegas spread by almost two touchdowns, it would have been a 50-50 proposition.
When this happens in the regular season, you start to have to pay such a premium that you almost can't ride that team.
You would think you'd pay even more of a premium here because it's so part of the conversation. I mean, you even announced it yesterday by saying everyone knows. No, everyone doesn't, but a lot of people do.
Right.
And more know now. I wonder, was anyone watching that game? I wonder if they talked about it. I guess they had to during the telecast, right?
I'm sure they did.
Last thing I'll say is this. Here's what they don't like about it, or I don't like about it, is it does feel like sometimes he sacrifices future success to win. I think if all things are equal, I can remember one time we used to play 2-on-2. There was four of us, and all three of those guys played college. Like, you know, Division III, one played Division II.
What happened to you?
Or the, you know, the under 6-footers that you know, got 10 pounds to lose back. I mean, no. But it's funny. An old friend of mine was at a party, and he was I grew up with his kid, and he was like 5'9", about 215. Not jacked either, you know, just portly. Okay. He shopped at the Husky section.
Yeah.
And he was at some party, and he's like 23, 24 at this point. And they say, what do you do? He goes, I play football for Pitt, you know, Pitt University. They're like, yeah. He goes, cornerback. It's like, yeah, we got a 5'9", 215-pound corner. But, you know, he figures the girl wouldn't know. So, no, I didn't play college ball. But we would play, like, I mean, some weeks – I had graduated college. I didn't go to law school. I was kind of hanging out. We'd play basketball 20 hours a week. I mean, like a lot. We used to have 7-game series. And I tell you, we were down 3-0 once in this series. And the guy I was with was the older, better guy because I was the worst one. It was like, we're going to win this thing. It took us like another hour and a half. When we won, I was so freaking happy. And it's funny, we lost one another time, and he walked 2 miles home because he didn't want to be in the car with me.
He told me that.
First of all, he was never going to blame himself. So it had to be whoever. But I mean, listen, he was much better than me. But the point is, I like someone that cares about winning. But if you're doing it and it's hurting winning games that are more important, that seems stupid to me. And how does he do that? I think sometimes you're not giving your younger players a chance to show what they've got. And I think injuries. I mean, I know you can't underplay players, but I think at some point when you're straining to win. And then here's the last thing you got to wonder. Think about the most intense coaches you can think of in the history of the last 20 years of the NFL. Bill Cowher would meet that criteria. Harbaugh. Who else would you say? Ditka was still going, right?
Yeah.
How many Super Bowls do the super intense coaches have? They tend to always do well in the regular season, right? Cowher lost like 4 or 5 AFC championship games at home, like something that hardly ever happens. There was like a crazy number of them. I think they're like 1 in 5 in his. It was crazy. Or I guess they made 2 Super Bowls. But I think what happens is it's intense from day one. You get tired by the end of the year of all that intensity. And 2, when you have to be loose, you get tight because he's screaming even more now because the pressure's on. Harbaugh has underperformed in playoffs. There's just no doubt about it. And Cowher did too. So I think that this intensity in the preseason means they get tired by January. What do you think?
I don't disagree. I would normally think you can handle that pressure if you know you're winning. Like Dan Campbell with the Lions being intense seems like it would get old because you keep losing.
When you win and you're still getting crap.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I don't know. All right. So, but here's what I know for sure. Don't bet against the Ravens.
No.
I mean,
lesson learned.
When we come back, we're going to go through And this is great research from McKenzie. How do the current NFL coaches do in the preseason? We've got the record of every one. We'll point out the ones you need to know about for this weekend.
When he's RJ Bell, I'm AJ Hoffman. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Intervention. I disagree with protocol. If you speak out against the words and the heavens.
I'm RJ Bell, and we are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm AJ Hoffman.
We've got the list of every head coach in the NFL, their record in the preseason, their over-under in the preseason. If you're hearing any shuffling papers, the office is getting reorganized. You got a lot of notes out there. I mean, it's just chock full of information. AJ Hoffman, good day to join us. And we are going over those coaches. And I got a little theory on Daboll and the Giants. This is the fastest growing show on Fox Sports Radio. Audience has doubled in the last 2 years plus. We thank you for the support, and we'll keep delivering a show worthy of spreading the word about it. over the weekend. I love the chance to catch up with my favorite shows, podcasts. A lot of the stuff we talk about is stays fresh. You know, it's not like it's over the next day. And just search at your favorite pod player for Straight Out of Vegas, and you can catch up over the weekend. Here in Vegas on the Strip, 90 degrees, it's windy, the neon is flowing.
The New York Giants get a 23-21 win over the New England Patriots in Brian Daboll's preseason debut. The Patriots cover as three-point dogs.
So, friend of the show, Mike Lombardi, who coached or was with the Patriots for a number of years, and then he was with Belichick in Cleveland before that. Well, Daboll was with New England at the same time as Lombardi, and he made a point about Daboll saying, hey, good coach, no doubt. A lot of success, and like, no questions. If you're on the Belichick staff, good sign. But consider this as you think about Daniel Jones, because I think the optimism about here comes Josh Allen, like a surge, an awakening, a statement, I'm here, baby, I'm an elite quarterback, or let's say I'm potentially an elite quarterback even. And remember last year when I thought Daniel Jones would have a decent year coming into the year, I said, look up Daniel Jones's second year numbers, right? And compare them to
Josh Allen.
And it was like, it was
the same guy.
It was eerily similar. And then Josh Allen has made a quantum leap. One, you could make the case we've never seen before.
You've pointed that out to me before. Guys who started out so below average mm-hmm. in terms of accuracy, rarely have we seen a jump like he's made.
And the accuracy is the key. In general, if you don't do well in year two, it's hard to do well as a quarterback ever. It happens, but that's rare. But then if you add in a guy who's having trouble with accuracy, if you throw all through high school, all through college, a couple years in the pros, and you're still not accurate, when are you going to get accurate? Well, you're not. Unless you're Josh Allen.
One guy.
And, you know, one day we'll understand it, but it causes people, you could say it's the exception that proves the rule. I don't quite know what that means. So I'm going to say it's kind of wild, and it made me kind of think that Josh Allen might have a drop-off last year. He did, but he was still elite.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to say a drop-off. You know, he just wasn't as good. We'll see. It's so fascinating. And let's do this, and we'll get into some quarterback talk, because the one quarterback last year that I thought was bulletproof, as in you couldn't say here's how he has a bad season, was Mahomes, who probably had the worst season the worst season of his career and amongst the good quarterbacks. But the ones who were questionable all had good seasons almost. This is a very interesting if you rank the quarterbacks. But Daboll and Mr. Daniel Jones, what's going to happen? Well, let's consider this. He was on the Cleveland offensive staff in 2009, Brady Quinn. Now, listen, we have a fondness for Brady here at the network, but not an elite NFL quarterback. I think he'd be the first to admit. Colt McCoy after that, not an elite NFL quarterback. Matt Moore.
These are elite NFL backup quarterbacks. Uh-huh.
Matt Cassel. Then in New England with Tom Brady, so, I mean, obviously he started in New England like 12 years after Brady won his first Super Bowl, so okay. Then he was at Alabama in college, then Josh Allen. Now, Daboll, we can't discount the possibility that he got better, that he figured something out. I'm still trying to figure stuff out.
Well, and when you go through the order there and you see those 4 years in New England, maybe being in New England was something, you know, you work for the best coach of all time, you probably pick up some things that make you a better coach.
Haven't you been listening to this network? Colin thinks that Belichick's a net negative at this point, it seems like.
Between 2013 and 16, I assure you, he was not a net negative.
But now he's gotten to be a net negative.
I'm not here to argue with Colin. Colin can think what he wants.
No. I'm asking what your opinion is.
I think Belichick.
First off, if someone thinks A and you think B, you're not arguing with the person. You're stating your opinion.
I'm not going to buck Bill Belichick until Bill Belichick walks away from the game. I think
you know Bill Belichick's a big fan of Bill O'Brien,
yeah.
who you and I argued for years on Houston radio, and you know which it seems absurd now in hindsight. It's like Mangino at Kansas, right? If you're not a big college fan, he took Kansas University to the Orange Bowl and won. He won the Orange Bowl. I was there. Okay. Now think about this. It was either that year. Yeah, it was that year. They played Missouri. If they won that game, they could have easily been in the national championship. I think it was still the BCS then. It could have been the national championship.
Which is crazy. Now Kansas's win total every year is 2.5.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've won like 7 games in the last 10 years or so. I mean, it's a little bit more than that. And it was like they've had coach after coach after coach. You know why he got fired? It was, I mean, again, this could be the version of events. It was, he was a little rough on players. You know, like he'd scream at them sometimes. And the AD didn't hire him. And it's like, if an AD doesn't hire a coach, it doesn't matter how well they do, they want to get their guy in there. Ran him off. Well, he left in a way disgrace because, like, I mean, remember Leach went through the same thing at Texas Tech at the same time. Somehow he had no problem with it. Why is that, do you think?
I don't know.
He's locking people, like, in porta-johns and stuff?
Yeah, in storage sheds.
I mean, yeah, is that right? I mean, allegedly or whatever, I don't know.
He locked a famous guy's son in the storage shed.
Yeah, well, I like that he was an equal opportunity abuser, I guess, or whatever you want to call it. I mean, if he said, oh, no, don't lock him, his dad...
Give me the ESPN analyst's son. Yeah. Hey, you, get in the shed.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know who survives these things and who don't, because there's no rhyme or reason to it.
I think if I'll be honest, and this sounds terrible, but if Mark Mangino was 200 pounds less, I think he would have gotten more opportunities. I think that a lot of people, the image of it was bad.
Once you won that much, maybe before you could say that he doesn't get the head job because you want, I mean, let's be honest. If you look at Lincoln Riley, how much of the luck, and here's the thing. Guys appreciate macho, good-looking guys. Now, if a guy's effeminate and you know, looks like beautiful, you know, looks beautiful, but looks like, you know, a gender bender, a lot of guys are going to be put off by that are straight. And again, right or wrong, or maybe they're at least publicly going to say that, but they appreciate it, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, Brad Pitt, if he walks in a room, he's getting, you know, let's just say he was an office guy, though. He wasn't Brad Pitt. You know how it is, like the new girl who's attractive and people think that she's attractive, they're carrying her purse. They wonder, do you need this to show you around at lunch? And if there's a lady who is, let's say, in conventional terms, not as attractive, not the same thing, is it?
No.
And, you know, if a beautiful girl walks in and she's coughing, other person's thinking, how can I get her some Halls and, you know, sit there with her with the tissues? If, like, a heavyset girl comes in coughing, person's going to be disgusted. Like, what's going on there? It's, like, so double standard. And it's like that with guys. Meaning that if a guy's good looking, even with other guys, there's a sense that, like, they're thinking, man, I wonder what girls is he getting? And it's like there's this general respect that is... I think it's in the animal kingdom because if you kind of... Oh, go ahead, AJ.
No, I was going to say also the other difference I'm noticing here, Mark Mangino, 23-41 in the Big 12 in his 8 years there.
So right in the middle of me talking about the looks, you're...
No, that's what I was trying to wait. I was waiting my turn. But you said, go ahead.
Well, no, but you look like you were like... It was like alien was going to jump out of you.
It's a fun conversation.
I thought you had something great to say. Then it's like, well, let me change the subject. So I'll change the subject because you think I should, I guess. You can just do a little signal if you want. But the... In fact, I'm not. You know what I'm going to do?
Tell me.
I am going to deny the audience the end of that story. No, it really could have changed lives. I think you at least affected one.
I wasn't trying to change the subject.
Just when you interrupt when I'm on a roll.
I didn't interrupt.
Just remember this. And I actually have a feeling it's going to cause someone to have a health problem.
Oh, no.
But you don't care. Go ahead. What's next? You tell me. I'll just sit back.
Mark Mangino was 23-41 over his 8 years in the Big 12. Mike Leach was 47-33. So,
but it doesn't matter. When you build up a program that was nothing before, right? And let's use Bill Snyder as an example.
Great example.
Yeah. He had a chance to get in a national title game. But he never made a national title game. He, you know, had only a handful of top five, maybe one or two top five finishes. But that was the worst program in the country, Kansas State. They had a sports... My best friend was there in the last year before Snyder and was with Snyder like for 8 years because he was there for another four. He redshirted. Then it took him another year to graduate. Then he was like a assistant GA, you know, like just getting paid like 30K,
yep.
25K, or actually thinking about it, probably like 18K.
Yeah, back then.
But then he eventually became an associate AD at Kansas. So, I mean, you know, you got to climb up through the ranks.
No doubt.
But I had insight into Kansas. I had insight into Kansas State. Sports Illustrated had, it said, worst program in history. It was literally on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
About K-State?
About Kansas State, the year when Snyder was coming in. Yeah, so, I mean, and then they became...
They're a respected program.
Well, I think you would make the case over a 15-year period, they probably won the second most games in the Big 12 other than Oklahoma.
You might be right.
So, and remember, the coaching tree that came out with Snyder, the Stoopses were... Mike Stoops was there, and Bob Stoops was there. Me and Gino was there as a GA, and there's, I mean Dana Dimmel, who was down in Houston. A lot of coaches came out of there.
A lot of people call Bill Snyder, or Mike Krzyzewski, the Bill Snyder, like Mike Krzyzewski, what he did at Duke, basically taking a program that didn't exist and turning it into a power.
Yeah, but he made them the best program in the country.
Yeah,
that last step, he never was able to do.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, I'm A.J. Hoffman. He's the voice of Vegas, R.J. Bell.
Oh, pro's pro, Mr. Dan Byer.
No doubt.
All right. I'm going to spare him any uncomfortable questions today.
That's kind of you.
I had one I was thinking of.
Enjoy the weekend, Dan.
Yeah. All right. So I think with Daboll, we can say, I think pretty assuredly, that we're not sure he's going to turn around. We're not sure that he's going to turn around Daniel Jones. I am a believer in Daniel Jones. The question is, if the best Daniel Jones is going to ever get is Jimmy G, and I think it's hard to imagine him getting better than that.
With all
the turnovers.
It is. And his tools, his ceiling should be higher than Jimmy G.
But the ceiling is where a lot of GMs go to die.
Exactly.
Or their careers go to die. So, which is, again, another Josh Allen thing. The toolsy quarterback that completed like 49% of his passes. He played 1 year in between high school and college at some kind of like extended fifth year. It's a weird thing.
It could have ruined Buffalo if he was still what he was in college. If he was still the most inaccurate quarterback imaginable.
What was the first... Well, he wouldn't have ruined him. It would have just been another failed quarterback.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Buffalo, even going into year three, when he had yet to show anything really, at least to the outside, were still behind him 100%. They weren't starting to hedge their bets.
Like the Giants started doing with Daniel Jones after 2 years.
I think so. But again, probably was warranted, you know? Because, again, the Josh Allen thing is so rare. So rare. McKenzie, on the break, get that college that it's not even a college. It's like a fifth-year prep academy or something. And he threw 49% completions. And now he's like maybe he could be the best quarterback in the NFL.
Might be.
When we come back, we're going to give you – do you have a best bet? Let's just say this. No. You're going to give an opinion. Because I don't wait. Or do you really have one you love?
I've got a best bet in the UFC if you want.
That's easy. We'll do that for sure. I'm going to give you a best bet in the NFL. Stay tuned.
And he's RJ Bell. I'm AJ Hoffman. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cameron Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner. Homie.
The Immaculate Reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm AJ Hoffman.
I'm doing my handicap on a best bet first. But the first thing we got to do is talk Josh Allen. All right, this was his quarterback completion percentage, throwing percentage completion. As a JV in high school, 59%. As a varsity, his first year, 50%. His second year, 57%. Here's the one. Out of high school, he couldn't get, it would seem, a big-time college to be interested, or even a college that didn't have community in its name. Reedley Community College, in 2014, he quarterbacked and completed 49% of his passes. That's almost hard to comprehend.
We got to look for his big time throw rate that year.
What were the odds? If we were sitting there watching that season, let's say we went to Reedley, right? And I said, I'll bet you he is going to be an all pro quarterback.
He'll be the best player in the NFL in 3 years, five years.
How much would you bet?
I would have bet my life savings. Yeah, yeah. You see, at Reedley College, he's below 50%.
If I said, I'd give you $200,000, but you have to. Cut your arms off. I was going to say something even worse.
Deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you. It's so don't forget, things that seem incomprehensible, they happen every day.
Yeah.
It's just they usually don't happen. We're straight out of Vegas. Okay, so this is the third day of me giving this pick. So I'm going to make it simple and quick. Josh Allen rushing yards over 550. Now, here's my rationale. Like I said, if you look at the last 3 years, it's about 564 per year. So, hey, 550 looks good. Now, why it would be lower with more games, I still think is weird, right? Because there's one additional game, because in the last 3 years, there's only 1 year that had 17 games, but still it's lower, okay? Last year, he had 763. So you're thinking, oh, it's trending up. But if you look at the last seven games, including the playoffs, so five games plus the playoffs, Josh Allen averaged a pace, 68 yards per game, that puts you on pace to 1,150 yards rushing. So that means we literally could double. If he did that, he would double the over-under. I like over, and I quite frankly don't think it's going to be too close, because if you listen closely, Josh Allen is saying, I'm not afraid to get hurt.
And I think when you made this, when we talked, we talked about what's the 3-year rolling average. You said, I bet that's where they made the number
from. That's what Fez said, yeah.
And it is the 3-year rolling average on the dot.
And don't forget, and we'll talk about this at length sometimes, is the books don't have the resources to make a deep handicap on every prop. What they do is they put up what the numbers say, and the limits are low enough. If someone bets against them, they respect, they'll just move it. In a way, the bettors are the ones that shape up the line when there's low limit bets. That's something most people don't understand. They do. Okay, you've got a UFC best bet. Then I'm given another NFL best bet.
Yusuf Zalal, -125 tomorrow night. Zalal started out 3-0 in the UFC, and then he ran into a UFC newcomer named Ilya Topuria. And Topuria won a unanimous decision and might have thought, oh, well, that's a bad loss. Well, Topuria turns out to be a real contender. He's 4-0 now, and the three fights since that one have been knockout finishes. We saw Zalal struggle badly against Sean Woodson, who's a 6'2 lightweight, was just too big for Zalal to implement his game. I still believe in Zalal as a prospect. That the size difference won't be the case here with a newcomer in Damon Blackshear.
Why does the size and newcomer have anything to do with each other? You're saying because it's a newcomer, the size won't matter.
The newcomer's size won't be the same issue that the last guy's size.
Okay,
so
you're saying that was the issue, was the size.
Yes.
This guy's not big. Okay.
This guy is not big. His non-UFC film shows a solid but not overwhelming grappler, but someone who's going to be totally outclassed on the feet. So I'm looking for Yusuf Zalal to get back on track here. Zalal -125.
How's this? This one seems like it's like you're trying to cognitively... Like, it feels like you're trying to rationalize in a take you had that this guy was going to be good. So now if he's good in this fight, it furthers that maybe it's looking bad. So you're hoping for redemption. Do you think this might be wishful thinking?
No, I think people are selling on him after two losses against guys that he just wasn't equipped to beat.
All right. Best bet.
Yusuf Zalal -125.
Yusuf Zalal.
Zalal.
Zalal. Yeah. I think USC got to start giving names like Stone Cold or something. All right. McKenzie might find this interesting. I'm going to give a normal best bet on the 49ers tonight, 5:30, -2.5. Now, here's my rationale. And this is important to consider in all preseason games. When the quarterback matters, right? If it's a quarterback battle, if it's a situation where the quarterback's getting snaps for whatever reason, the whole team becomes more involved and focused. So it doesn't matter if Trey Lance doesn't play a lot tonight. It doesn't matter. The fact is, it doesn't even matter if he plays or not. What matters is the 49ers are attentive to public perception right now, to every little thing. Think about it. You think last year with Jimmy G or 2 years ago, they worried about like incomplete passes in practice or something. But now there's every concern about what's the narrative. And thus the team has got more focus on these games than you'd expect. And because of that, I think the 49ers laying only 2.5 against a Packer team that Aaron Rodgers, I don't know where he's rolling at, no pun intended, tonight. But, I mean, is he even going to be at the game? Who knows?
Who knows?
And him in San Francisco? Look out. Look out. I don't know, man. I like the 49ers.
I passed the preseason this week. San Francisco was my favorite play on the board. So
now listen, I don't have enough time in the show to give another pick now.
It's a bit.
Why did you say that? McKenzie, you got 10 seconds. Do you like that pick?
Lance needs a lot of reps in game. I think he plays a lot. I like the pick.
All right, so I got two things going against it, but still, we're going to go with it.
If you missed any of today's show, including a breakdown of why you should never bet against a bully in the preseason, check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. We're going to be back Monday, 6 Eastern, 3 o'clock Vegas time, reviewing week one of the preseason. He's RJ Bell, I'm AJ Hoffman. We are straight out of Vegas right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine. or a ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money in markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.